The next morning, Bilbo woke up with the early sun in his eyes. This time, he was allowed to climb onto an eagle's back and cling tightly between his wings. The air rushed over him, and he shut his eyes. Hours later, the eagle circled down in great spirals, swooping one by one to set down their passengers.
"Farewell," they cried, "till your eyries receive you at the journey's end."
The party gathered and discussed what was to be done. "I always meant to see you all safe over the mountains," said the wizard, "and now by good management and good luck I have done it. I may look in on you again before it is all over, but I have some other pressing business to attend to." The dwarves groaned and looked most distressed, and Bilbo wept. "But not yet. I can give you a day or two more. Very few people live in these parts, but there is somebody that I know of who lives not far away. He is a very great person. You must all be very polite and careful not to annoy him. He can be appalling when he is angry, though he is kind enough if humoured. Sometimes he is a huge black bear. Sometimes he is a great, strong, black-haired man with huge arms and a great beard. I cannot tell you much more, but that his name is Bjorn, though that ought to be enough." They came to a high thorn hedge through which you could neither see nor scramble. But there was a wooden gate, beyond which they could see gardens and a cluster of low wooden buildings. Standing near was a huge man with a thick black beard and hair.
"Who are you? What do you want?"
he asked gruffly.
"I am Gandalf," said the wizard.
"Never heard of him. And what's this little fellow?"
"This is Mr. Baggins, a hobbit of good family and unimpeachable reputation."
Bilbo bowed.
"Well, what do you want?"
"To tell you the truth, we have lost our luggage and nearly lost our way, and are rather in need of help."
Gandalf told of the trolls and the goblins. When he came to the wolves, Bjorn got up and strode about and muttered,
"I wish I had been there. I would have given them more than fireworks."
By the time the wizard had got to the eagles, the sun had fallen behind the peaks of the Misty Mountains.
"A very good tale," said Bjorn. "The best I have heard for a long while. Now, let's have something to eat."
The light of the torches and the fire flickered about them as they ate, and Bjorn in his deep, rolling voice told tales of the wild lands and especially of the dark and terrible forest of Mirkwood that lay outstretched before them, barring their way to the east. Suddenly, up stood Gandalf.
"It is time for us to sleep," he said. "For us, but not, I think, for Bjorn. In this hall we can rest sound and safe, but I warn you all not to forget what Bjorn has said. You must not stray outside until the sun is up, on your peril."
Bilbo found that beds had already been laid at the side of the hall. For him there was a little mattress of straw and woolen blankets. He snuggled into them very gladly and fell asleep. Yet in the night he woke. There was a growling noise outside, as of some great animal scuffling at the door. Bilbo wondered what it was, and whether it could be Bjorn in enchanted shape, and if he would come in as a bear and kill them. He dived under the blankets and hid his head and fell asleep again. Next morning they were wakened by Bjorn himself. He picked up the hobbit and laughed.
"Not eaten up by wargs or goblins or wicked bears yet, I see."
Bjorn was most jolly for a change. He had been over the river and right back up into the mountains and caught a warg and a goblin wandering in the woods. From these he had got news. The goblin patrols were still hunting with wargs for the dwarves.
"It was a good story, that of yours," said Bjorn. "But I like it still better now I am sure that it is true. I shall think more kindly of dwarves after this." "Killed the great goblin. Killed the great goblin," he chuckled fiercely to himself.
"What did you do with the goblin in the warg?"
asked Bilbo suddenly.
"Come and see."
A goblin's head was stuck outside the gate, and a warg skin was nailed to a tree just beyond. Bjorn was a fierce enemy. But now he was their friend,
and Gandalf thought it wise to tell him their whole story.
The way through Mirkwood is dark, dangerous, and difficult. I will give you skins for carrying water, I will give you bows and arrows, and I will give you a word of warning. Don't stray from the path. That you must not do for any reason. At the gate of the forest, I must ask you to send back my horse and my ponies. But I wish you all speed, and my house is always open to you.
Next day, they started before dawn. As soon as it was light, they could see the forest coming to meet them, waiting for them, like a black, frowning wall. Silence began to draw in upon them.
Well, here is Mirkwood, said Gandalf. I hope you like the look of it. Now you must send back these excellent ponies. Beorn may be your friend, but he loves his animals.
What about the horse, then? Said Thorin. You don't mention sending that back.
I don't, because I am not sending it.
What about your promise, then?
I will look after that. I am not sending the horse back. I am riding it.
Then they knew that Gandalf was going to leave them at the very edge of Mirkwood, and they were in despair.
It is no use arguing. I have some pressing business away south, and I am already late, and I am sending Mr. Baggins with you. I have told you before that he has more about him than you guess, so cheer up. Think of the treasure at the end, and forget the forest and the dragon, at any rate, until tomorrow morning. Goodbye to you all. Straight through the forest is your way now. Keep to the track. If you don't, 1,000 to 1 you will never get out of Mirkwood and see the long marshes. Never mind see the lonely mountain, or Smaug, though I hope he is not expecting you. Goodbye then, said Gandalf.
Then they heard his voice come faintly.
Remember, don't leave the path.